Be my delight. Be my everything. I like that lyric. How about you, Brad? I think that's one of the coolest lyrics ever in the history of everness. If you would grab a Bible, which there are some behind of Dylan, and flip it open to 1 John, we're going to close up the Loved Anyways series. I feel like I'm 8 miles away from you guys, so I'll scoot up a little bit. If you remember, we started off talking about this series. The very first thing that we came to realize with each other is that we are absolutely unworthy of the love of God. That nothing that Marty has done, nothing that Andrew has done, nothing that Ben has done, nothing that Devin's done, nothing that Delaney has done, nothing that Dylan's done is worthy of God's love. That if we were to go up before God and say, this is something that I have done to make you love me, to merit or to earn your love, his response would be, are you kidding me? Like that's it? That's all that you've given me for the love that I have for you? That we are all unworthy of the love of God. So that's kind of where we started this series, that we're unworthy, and yet despite that, God chooses to love us unconditionally. That despite Ashley's faults, despite Seth's blemishes, despite my sins and my transgressions, God chooses in his nature, at the very foundation of creation, to say, I will love my creation unconditionally. And so last week we looked at the thought that, well, if that's true, if God loves us unconditionally, then shouldn't that love satisfy us? If we wiped away everything else from the planet, if we wiped away all of our friends, if we wiped away our cool clothing, if Andrew wiped away all of his camo, if we wiped away everything that we hold as valuable, shouldn't God's love still be enough? If there was nothing else, shouldn't that love be satisfying? We kind of dive down into that concept of what does it mean to be satisfied in something? It means to be completely, completely surrounded and completely okay in the circumstance. If you're satisfied with your lunch, you had a hearty meal, right? If I'm satisfied with my dinner, odds are we had a huge taco feast because that's pretty much the only thing that I like to eat. So if God loves us unconditionally, then that love should satisfy us. And just like that lyric said, that he should be all of our delights. He should be our everything. And sometimes, remember we talked last week, we tend to confuse God's blessings with God's love. We tend to get so caught up in what he gives us that we fail to dive beneath that surface to discover who he is and what it is that he is doing. Tell them I'll call him right back. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, that's a good plug for please turn your cell phones to vibrate and or silence so they do not go off. Huh? So tonight, kind of to wrap up this series, is I was kind of thinking, okay, what's the last thing that we want to take out of this Loved Anyway series? Because it's kind of cool already, right? That, you know, no matter what, God loves me. That despite everything that I do wrong, God still loves me. And that love is completely satisfying to where it gives me my self-worth. It gives me my self-esteem. It gives me my identity. It gives me my footsteps and my path. Everything that I know to be true, it gives me that. What could we add to that? And so this concept started to run through my mind, and that's why I wanted you to turn to 1 John, is that if we understand God's love, and this is going to be an important point, so we'll say this one like 3 times so you guys catch on to this. If we understand God's love, then that love should manifest itself. And what I mean by the word manifest is that love should display itself. That love, which is kind of like bottled in and kind of trapped in, like all inside of you, like inside, should come bursting forth and exploding forth. There's this principle that's hidden all throughout Scripture. It's not so much hidden as shouted out on every page, especially in the Gospels, when Jesus says that you will know a tree by its fruit. Someone explain to me what that means. You will know a tree by its fruit. Yeah. This would be a good time for you guys to talk. What does Jesus mean when he says, you will know a tree by its fruit? Let's take it into the context to help you out. In the context, someone was saying, you know, Jesus, there are these other disciples that we don't really know. And they were doing things in your name. Should we tell them to stop? Shouldn't we tell them to stop? Jesus says, if no one, if they're not against us, they're for us, for you shall know a tree by its fruit. Eric. Yeah, kind of like that. What it means when Jesus says, you shall know a tree by its fruit, is that your actions should represent who you follow. That if you sit here and you say, I love God, then there should be something to back that up. That it shouldn't just be kind of a claim that you make, or it shouldn't just be a sentence that you say, but someone should be able to look at your life and say, okay, he says that, and he does that. I can see how that happens. Now, here's the kind of the problem that we get into is we tend to focus so much on that side of doing all the right things and trying to please God and trying to get wrapped up in this works-based type of salvation, meaning that you can earn your salvation, that we fail to see what that passage is really saying. If we reduce it down, we kind of take it back to its beginning, you'll find that Jesus said to a rich young ruler, he said, here's how I want to sum up everything that you want to know. Number one, I want you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says it, and we tend to enumerate it. Like, we picture Jesus at a chalkboard being like, okay, number one, love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Everyone got that? Okay, and number two, which is underneath of number one, love your neighbors as yourself. Right? That's how we tend to look at that. But understand, Jesus was in the middle of a conversation, so he didn't like whip out the bullet points. He was saying, look, here's the most important thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And because you love God, you'll begin to see other people as God sees them. Your life will then take on that love of God, and that love will manifest itself in your everyday actions. Listen to how John words it in 1 John in chapter 3. That sounded very, like, formal. In 1 John, in chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 14. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it is proved that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. And understand, he's not saying, like, a dead person's laying there. He's talking about, like, spiritually dead, spiritually alive. But a person that does not love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and for our sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or a sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, which is usually what John referred to his readers as, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we can ask, because we obey him and do the things that please him. And this is his commandment. This is what pleases God. We must believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and we must love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commands remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the spirit he gave us lives inside of us. I think it's really important that John chose the word us at the very end of that passage, when he says, now here's what really pleases God. Number one, that you believe in the name of his son, that you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and we must love one another. And then plugged in at the end of that passage, he says it's at that point when we love one another that we abide in the fellowship, or that we remain in the fellowship with God and with Jesus, and the Spirit dwells inside us. I don't think he was using that as a general us. I don't think he was using that like us in general as Christians. I think he was using that like a us in the community. Those of us who are together inside of this community, who love one another, who sacrifice for one another, who go out of their way for one another. The Spirit dwells inside of those relationships. You guys remember the Rob Bell DVD that we're going through, Everything is Spiritual. And he talks about all that stuff that we don't understand. And I've already made half of you mad because I mentioned it. But remember when he's talking about the small building blocks of life. Remember he talks about they went and they tried to split an atom. And then they decided that you could split that. They decided that you could split that. They decided that you could split that. And the smallest kind of building block of life that we found so far, they can only find in communities of two and of three. And you remember Rob Bell saying that now these nuclear cell physicists, I don't know what you call them, dudes who do that sort of thing, are now starting to sound like ancient Hebrew theologians when they say all that we know is that there's some sort of community and some sort of energy and some sort of relationship at the core of life. You remember we crossed that with Genesis chapter 1 when it talks about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, His voice spoke and it went out. Later we find that the Word is Jesus Christ, and then it says, let us make man in our image, and the Spirit of God is all wrapped up inside of that, that even God Himself is this picture of perfect community. And I think that's really important for us to begin to understand, is that if we understand the love of God, if we understand the character of God, and understand that God Himself is involved in a community, why would we choose to do differently? If we have the love of God inside us, how could we not love the people around us? I think that's kind of the point that John is trying to drive home. And to maybe go off on a tangent, I want to focus on just that scripture. This is an ADD moment where he says, we know what real love is. What's real love in that verse? We know what real love is because Jesus died on the cross. Yes, good job, Delaney. Jesus died on the cross. Hey, they make these things called Bibles and we read from them. And sometimes when I ask questions like that, you can look back and the answer is right there. It's incredible, I promise. It'll make you feel so smart. But we know that real love is that Jesus died for our sins. Now let's break that down because that's kind of a huge claim. Real love is that Jesus died for our sins. What all did Jesus dying for our sins entail? What was kind of bound up in that claim of Jesus dying for our sins? What does that mean? Jesus, S-A-C.
Save.
S-A-C. Sacrifice. Yes. Real love is sacrificial. It's going to be a long class tonight. Real love is sacrificial. Real love goes to great lengths. Real love goes above and beyond the call of duty. Real love takes someone else's worth and places it on a higher plane. Does that make sense? Takes someone just like Jesus has done to those of us in this room who have called on His name. He has taken our unworthiness and has given us His name. You talk about phenomenal. Remember the first week we talked about how we're so unworthy of God's love. Jesus says, look, now that you have been crucified with Christ, you no longer live, but Jesus Christ dwells inside of you. Other scriptures say that as a community of believers, that we are the body of Jesus Christ, that He is our head and we are all knit together and formed by His Spirit, and that we work together and that we are the physical body on this earth of Jesus Christ. And there's this very real image that says that Jesus has taken you in your unworthiness and hasn't just said, hey, you're a good person, or hey, you're kind of worthy now, but He said, no, now I give you My name. Scriptures also tell us that when God looks down on those of us who have called on Christ, that He doesn't see our sin, He doesn't see our fault, but that He sees the blood of His Son. So if we are wrapped up and entangled up in that wonderfully messy love that God has given us, how could we make it so cheesy and inauthentic to the people beside us? And what I mean by that is I mean that there's a temptation to take that love and to say, yeah, I love people around me because I say hi to them, or because, you know, I don't make fun of them like everyone else makes fun of them, or I shook their hand one day, or I really did something different one day. But if we understand that verse, say, look, we know what real love is. It's this sacrifice. It's this community. It's this relationship that exists. So we ought to love our brothers and our sisters exactly like that, which means that everyone in this room should love each other with the exact same love that Jesus shares in your life. Which means that the other people beside you in this room, their life, their comfort, their needs are more important than your comfort, your needs, your wants, and your desires. That's kind of a hard concept to come across, because that is very uncomfortable for us, because I want things my way and I want to always be comfortable. And if someone comes in and smells, I don't really want to go say hi to them, nonetheless, spend time with them outside of this room, because that's uncomfortable for me. If someone comes in here and I am, you know, dressed kind of preppy, and someone walks in with the chains hanging down, I don't really want to spend time with them outside this room because they're different than me. It's hard to do, but it's the only reason that the first century church started changing their culture around them, was because they got outside of their society confines. They got outside of what separates Jake Frame from Brad McPherson, and they said, hey, I choose to love you with the same love that Jesus Christ loves you with. So maybe tonight, as we close up this series, if we could just understand three things, this series would be worth it. Number one, if we could understand that we will forever be unworthy of the love of Jesus Christ. Number two, that God has chosen to, despite that, to shower us with His love, and that love should satisfy us. That's a rambling sentence. Number three, that if that love is the focus of our lives, it should manifest itself in our actions. I think if we as a youth group, if we as a student ministry, if we as a church would catch on to those promises and latch on to those concepts, we would begin to move church outside of these walls and start to change things around us, because things happen when God's love is in the middle of it. So I just want to encourage you to this week, find someone who needs to feel the love of God. Find someone who is hurting. Find someone who is downcast. Find someone who is depressed. Someone who is prideful. Someone who is arrogant. Someone who's an idiot. Someone who's a genius. And spend time with them and show them the real love of Jesus Christ, and not the church, I'm glad you're here, I never want to see you again type of love that sometimes we show each other. I want to pray with you guys. Before we do that, some announcements. In 2 weeks, the 29th of February, starting at 6 o'clock p.m., there will be another game night at the Belpre Church of Christ. Guitar Hero will probably be there again. I don't really know. And
Mexican food night.
And Chance and Brad will be dancing at that. They will be the entertainment. So be there. Guys who are playing basketball, we have a basketball game that night at 8 o'clock. We have to make up a game. So it would be really cool if you'd come for maybe an hour of game night, hang out with some of the older people in the congregation, get to know them. The 29th. And that would just be a really cool thing. Also, don't forget that we're going to go downstairs here immediately following this, and we're going to dunk Alexis in the water. So tell her your goodbye wishes and all that stuff. Also, two more announcements. Number one, it would be really, really cool if a couple people would say, I would like to shake hands on Sunday morning and go join forces with some of the door greeter guys that stand outside, some of the gatekeepers of the kingdom. So if you want to do that, it's very simple to do. You just shake hands. You get to know people that way. It's a cool way to reach out and to meet some of the older people, some of the younger married couples in our church, that sort of thing. That would be an awesome way for you to serve. So let me know if you want to do that. Guys and girls are available to do that. Also, we're looking for a couple people who would like to put together the worship on Wednesday nights. That includes everything from the songs to the different stuff that we do sometimes, like the stations. Really be creative with it is what we're looking for. So if you're interested in that, let me know. That would be very cool as well. Alexis, get your tail up here. Everyone get around Alexis, and we're going to pray, and then we'll go downstairs.
Can I be this close?
Yeah, like
you can
right
be as
here.
Close as you want to, Delaney.